specialist. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Chuck.
Well, lambing season's under the way, but I guess we probably should have talked about this sooner, but some people have been having some problems with the disease, huh? The virus.
Yes, you know, the lambing season, you know, for most, until just recently, has been cold, not much snow, but a cold event. You know, producers plan ahead and have the right facilities, and then we get some surprises. And this year, following on the heels of 2011, where we had seen some debilitating disease outcomes in lamb crop, and it's the topic of really discussion is called Cache Valley virus. And Cache Valley virus, classically, we think of stillborn lambs that have fused joints and, in small numbers historically or even in 2011 or in here in 18. But it seems like it's gone deeper, and we also have live affected lambs with this virus. And the virus is endemic in the environment. Deer are the host, mosquitoes are the vector, and the sheep are a target. And we're thinking about pregnant sheep in this story.
Now, do they get this? Then they would must get a, get a, the sheep must get that then in the summer or in the fall?
Yeah, during the breeding season. So here's the story. The 1985, this virus was named Cache Valley Mountains in Idaho is where it first identified. And but we've gone about 30 years from 1985 to 2011 for virtually no one. It wasn't on the radar for anybody. And it's a little surprising why it has spiked in these last few years. But here's in this scenario, a sheep is essentially naturally immunized against this virus by being bit by a mosquito when they're non-pregnant state. And actually, it's a good thing. The challenge is if the animal is naive to this virus and bitten during pregnancy in the first 0 to 30 days of gestation, embryonic death loss, which would result in the lambing time 5 months later, either open ewes or fewer lambs on board. If the animals are infected during gestation with this virus by mosquitoes between days 28 and 45, then the fetus is carried forward. And the original thought process was that developmental elements, skeleton, central nervous system, so forth, but it would be a stillborn. But we've identified and observed a lot more last, especially here in 18.
Now, is this virus mutated at all, or is it still the same virus?
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows that. Here's the, there is some, what we can say this is that this is pretty certain. It's the younger females in the flock, 2 years old, we call them our yearlings. Twos and some threes seem to be those that are demonstrating that they didn't have enough resistance built up. And so you say, well, is this two or three or five cases? You know, in January, it was the areas, I would say, even from Watertown, west of Watertown, south, in our area, and then south of I-90 going east and west, areas that were really dry and got wet late. So mosquito populations came late in the summer. So that made sense. Now, in the, I would say, the I-29 corridor and even in Minnesota, the areas that for some reason the evidence of Cache Valley affected lambs shows up in February. And even in the last week, I've seen lambs that were affected. Some go forward and return, quote, into a normal state, and some don't. But so what's the significance relative to a lamb crop? And some of our operations, especially early, you know, is representing losses related to these skeletal and functional disorders, around 10% of the land crop.
Now,
so it's pretty significant.
Now, you said the deer are the carriers?
No, deer are the hosts. They host the virus, I guess, the way I understand it. And mosquitoes are the vector. So mosquitoes interaction with deer, pick up the virus, and then on to the sheep. Again, this has been in nature for a long time, and normally we expect the sheep to be immunized through this cycle of being of this again, with if the let's say on the 1st of July, the mosquitoes and transfers this virus to the sheep, we go on our merry ways of nothing out of the ordinary.
So
don't expect any negative outcome. But if the sheep is naive to this virus and they're pregnant, then things come out. So we look at the lamb crop, we are seeing, I would say, the summary would be this. The drops are a little lower so far this winter, in some cases quite a bit lower. That can be related to a lot of factors, but as we get into seeing open ewes and the younger segment of the flock is that proportion that are 2 years and such of age, you start to think there might be an effect of cache valley related there. Certainly some symptoms along the way, but fewer lambs per 100 ewes. More open use seemed like the strategy, the outcome. And, of course, then some classic, those classified at birth that were losses due to skeletal deformities, which can just occur in nature. But in this year, we see, there's more of those, and logic is suggesting the Cache Valley. And the Dr. Holler diagnostic. And other diagnostic labs around the country certainly understand. We're dialed into what we expect to see with the animals that were infected that weren't protected. That's what it comes down to.
Being it's a virus, probably no vaccine for it.
No vaccine, and as I say, there was almost a 30-year period where. A friend of mine, it used to be in the animal medical profession, that long retired, is the one that told me that in 2011, told me that in 1985 we had this large outcome of these deformed lambs, and it was later determined it was Cache Valley. And the next year, zero. Absolutely not one on the ground that represented that what happened the year before. And that's kind of what we expect to see. In 2011, we had a pretty widespread Cache Valley effect across the country, really. I mean, from Texas to Maine and back to South Dakota, we were getting reports on a regular basis. Next year, very quiet. And but we start to find out the Canadians have had trouble the last 3 or 4 years. So it's a little bit puzzling why we went about a 30-year period with almost negligible evidence or discussion, and now in the last 6-7 years, more common, it seems like. It's difficult to study these things because they go as quick as they come. It's not like it's something that lingers on, and we understand that natural immunity should be part of this process.
So if they have to be pregnant when they get bit, do you see any maybe to get this? Do you see anybody breeding later then if they really got a high area of it to maybe reduce that at all?
Well, we expected in 2011. I guess the thought process was as we go into the mid February and later, we would see very little, and we did. It's. Last fall, and I think almost any fall, you still have mosquitoes clearing. I mean, we're looking at lambing dates respective of breeding near the 1st of October. Well, we still have mosquitoes in October. They have to carry the virus. But by that time in the fall, we would expect that most of the open ewes would have been exposed to the and this natural cycling of immunization going on. So it's a little surprising that we're still seeing some here late in February.
Those are
October breeding. Mm-hmm.
Those done before 28 days get infected. They say what the fetal is reabsorbed or they abort or whatever.
Well, we see some reabsorption of, and so, you know, it's even, visiting with growers, you know, they've got a few more opens than normal, and they tend to be in those younger ewes, from year to year variation, all kinds of cause and effects that go on. But fewer lambs, so reflective, fewer lambs in lamb crop. One of the possibilities is that we had some embryonic death loss related to this virus. Can't be restricted to it, but it could be related. More open ewes. Again, there's lots of reasons why that could be an outcome, but it seems to be adding together. For growers that are having some lambs born that just don't seem quite at 100%, and they're wondering what they're doing wrong. And this is part of this discussion, is to understand that there's some pretty subtle things that affect the metabolism of young lambs, maybe their inability, their ability to stand properly, or even subsequently nurse, that you're wondering what they're doing. Is it nutritional? They might ask about, health status or minerals or vitamins or something. Well, it could be something they're not used to, and that's part of the purpose of doing this discussion, is that we've done some news releases, did some TV with RFD-TV, and it's pretty clear that we're not the only area that's seen some challenges with add-on challenge, as I would say, here in 2018 with Cache Valley.
And if you have twins or triplets, or all of them, single twins or triplets, if you have, are all of the lambs affected?
That's a great point. And, the early work from the 80s, they basically said that Cache Valley affected lambs were stillborn. Well, in 2011, we learned that there are affected lambs, if you pay close attention, are lambs that are affected, that are in the lamb crop on the, that either go return to some state of normalcy or not. But even in 2011, it was clear that you could have a normal lamb and an affected lamb in the same litter. Stillborn and a normal. And, there's plenty of other causes. But the Cache Valley is pretty characteristic. They're kind of like a pretzel. The limbs are fused. And usually they have a crooked spine. They have a short bottom jaw, developmental errors that occurred early in gestation. And interestingly, they're carried full term on the classical ones. They're full term. They go all the way to 148.
Well, Jeff, I know this disease kind of took some of the lambing problems, but overall, has the lambing been a tougher lambing season with these the weather conditions?
Well, it could, but one interesting characteristic, despite the undertow of this discussion so far, almost every grower I've talked to would say that the ewes that lambed came in a narrower window than they remember. It's in the top end of, we're almost done lambing comes in the conversation as we reach the 1st of March with a number of growers. So it is kind of ironic that a lot of things were in good position because the ewes brought up with the late summer rains created a flush of grass, and we expected a better outcome than we've seen. There's always little nicks, and what we just described was one of those nicks. But lamb prices are good. Depends on where you're at. Our high end wolves have got a great outcome going forward. Poor quality the black faced wolves, unfortunately, are a bit in a lull right at this point, but a lot of good things going on. Growers are pleased. Lamb crops going forward. Not a lot of snow to deal with. Lambs can get out, but The lambing season for some has been a bit of a challenge, and I guess that's part of raising livestock.
Well, the sun this last couple of days, lambs have enjoyed that pretty good.
Oh, yes. Sunshine, a little warmer weather. You know, minimizing the amount of the mud period here will be important for all of us as we think about, you know, we want to get those lambs out of the barns. I mean, that's, you know, we've got them in there when it's the coldest day, the coldest stretch of the year, but boy, all of a sudden when that changes, then we need some ventilation, we need to get them out, and so we need to match warmer weather with a good place to get them out and keep them out of the mud, too.
I was going to say, keeping that humidity down in some of these buildings is kind of tough when we get these cold days.
I think March is one of the tougher months to manage sheep. I really do. I mean, the wide fluctuations in temperature, and then with that, the air holding capacity and humidity. Your lambing barn that you're using in January probably needs to be suited a bit differently right now. Not as tight, not as warm.
Have some fans or something.
Get them in and out. Yep. Get them in and out.
Well, Jeff, thanks for talking to me about that. We should have talked a little sooner on this, but anyway, it's nice to bring it up, and I guess hopefully in that it wasn't a major hurdle in there, but I know those.
Yeah, well, maybe we hope it's not a hindrance, but for some, in this case, it might be helpful to understand that some of the things they noticed and some disappointments had a cause and effect.
Okay. Well, Jeff, we sure appreciate you joining us, and have a good weekend, and I guess go Jacks, huh?
You bet. Thanks.
All right, Jeff.